right. Thank you, folks. Let's open our Bibles to the book of John, Gospel of John, chapter 18. We got almost halfway through it, I think, last week. We'll try to kind of find a place to start in John chapter 18 as we go chapter by chapter, verse by verse here. That's what we mostly do here in Sunday school and especially here in the adult class. I have so many smart students that come in here, I have to watch it to be just right, make sure I'm right in the Bible. Amen. Oh, that's a weak amen. You was afraid I was going to give you a test or something, right? Okay. All right, John 18. Of course, we have the rest in the garden where they gang up and come out to receive, to get Christ, and they bind him and bring him back in for the kangaroo court that's going to go on as they condemn him. Day and time we live in, there's been a lot of good cartoons about the political scene and all the confusion in Washington and all the accusations. And one of my favorite cartoons was where they had one of the investigators showing a hound dog, I guess, a bloodhound, said, "Here, smell of this, now go find the crime." And that's just about what they did with Jesus. They falsely accused him every kind of way, tried to frame him, did frame him, made all kind of ridiculous accusations. And some of you were here on Wednesday night when I talked to you some about the Roman records. Rome, the fourth empire, spoken of as probably the greatest world kingdom there was as far as the history books go. But actually, in the archives of Rome, they have so much that runs parallel with what you read in your Bible concerning the crucifixion of Christ. And I'll say more about it maybe later, but Pilate himself wrote a description of all the details, and it's recorded. And now, it's not as accurate a Bible, of course, it's not. Bible is God's word, it's perfect, but man does keep records, and they would stand up in a court today of having been preserved all that long time in the archives of Rome, a long time before there was a pope and a Catholic Church as we know it today. Now, they did get into it, and they've got much of it in their own library now. But it is amazing the parallel when you read the Bible and you read it, how close it comes together. And Pilate himself says over and over when he writes his letter to the Roman Senate, to explain what happened, that they falsely accused him. Yet he went along with it to be politically correct. See, that didn't just start in our generation. It's been around for a long time. And so under political pressure, he let them crucify Christ, even though he said, "I find no fault in this man." Sort of like the Mueller report. No crime, but now they're saying, well, let's get him on obstruction of justice. I want you to reason something with me. If there was no crime, how could there be an obstruction of justice? There could only be an obstruction of injustice. You got that? I don't know why common folks can't think that one through. If Brother Canal sitting over here accuses me and he falsely does it and I defend myself, am I obstructing justice or injustice? You got it? If you hadn't got it, you better go home because it may get deeper. Amen. The truth of the matter is, though, that's what happened with Jesus. And the president today is not the only one ever been mistreated in America or other places. There's been plenty of it. We know that. But it is amazing how they build up a conspiracy, they hired witnesses, they done everything they could to frame Jesus, and they did. But they couldn't prevent God from getting into it before it was over. And who turned out as the winner? The Lord Jesus did, didn't he? And by the way, I refer again to those records of Pilate, and he gives a fabulous testimony for the reality and the truth of the resurrection. He said you could hardly find a soldier, Roman soldier or temple soldier, which was under the high priest, you could hardly find a soldier that did not believe that he didn't rise from the dead. That's a pretty powerful testimony because they're the ones firsthand right there. and saw what happened and what was going on. I want you to jump into chapter 18 here with me. And they brought Jesus in, they bound him. Simon Peter got a little bit mad and took a sword and cut a fellow's ear off. And the Bible tells us that Jesus put the ear back on. But as we begin to read on down through chapter 18, we'll start in verse 19. It says, the high priest then asked Jesus of his disciples and of his doctrine. Kind of amazing, you know. You want to find out who's on your side, who's piling around with you. We see that in the news all the time. Jesus answered him, I spake openly to the world. I ever taught in the synagogue and in the temple. He's talking about in those public places. Whether the Jews always resort, and in secret have I said nothing. Transparency is what he's saying. We've heard that in the news, haven't we? I'm going to be transparent. Well, Jesus was. He didn't hide anything. He told them exactly like it was. Verse 21, why askest thou me? Ask them which heard me, what I have said unto them. Behold, they know what I said. You know, our problem today is the problem is not guessing what God said. We have what God said. The problem today is obeying what God said. We have in the Bible what God said, what he wants, what he's going to judge us by. And the problem is not that we don't know. The problem is we don't want to do what we do know. That's our challenge. Verse 22, and when he had thus spoken, one of the officers which stood by struck Jesus with the palm of his hand, saying, answer thou the high priest so? Jesus answered him, if I have spoken evil, bear witness of the evil. But if well, why smitest thou me? But Annas has sent him bound unto Caiaphas, the high priest. Now, Annas was father-in-law, I believe it was, to Caiaphas. And so you had a big conspiracy going here. And Caiaphas was the high priest. He had the authority. And you got to understand, and I've said this to you several times, many of the soldiers involved, even that officer there, was very likely a Jewish officer, temple soldier. Pilate was fussing when he wrote the letter to the Senate in the records that he didn't have enough soldiers. He was afraid of a bloody riot in the street. And at one point, it sounds like he only had 100 soldiers. And he'd written and asked for Rome to send him more, and they had not come. And Caiaphas the priest, we read that in the records that he said, we came real close to having a bloody riot in the streets. See, we read the Bible and we think all the crowd was against Jesus, but they were not. There was a lot of the common people in that crowd as they moved him to the cross and crucified him that was hollering out on his side. They were saying, let him go. They were saying things like, he's being crucified because he took the side of the poor and he was trying to help people. There was, all those cries was going out according to the Roman records. And that's why Pilate was so scared and Caiaphas was scared that the common man out of the street was about to have a riot. And then I'm getting way ahead of myself, but when the phenomena took place with the sky turning black, with the earthquake, and all the things, all of a sudden, everybody was scared because God was letting his presence be known. And it was scaring them to death, including Pilate himself. And amazing to read that. That's extra stuff to the Bible. We don't know how totally accurate it is, but it really doesn't deny one thing that you read in the scripture. It almost kind of enlarges on it in that way. So I found it quite interesting. And like I said, you'll have to forgive me, but I'm going to refer to it once in a while because it kind of helps us as we go through the scripture here. So they're getting ready here for the crucifixion. They're interrogating Jesus, asking him about what he said. And then you have the situation with Peter denying the Lord. Now, Peter has followed. Another place in the Bible tells us he followed afar off. It tells us that he warmed his hands at the, we often say, the devil's fire. It was the enemy's fire, no doubt about it. It says in verse 25, Simon Peter stood and warmed himself. They said therefore unto him, art not thou also one of his disciples? He denied it and said, I am not. One of the servants of the high priest, being his kinsman, whose heir Peter cut off, saith, Did not I see thee in the garden with him? Peter then denied again, and immediately the cock crew. Now you'd have to go to the rest of the Gospels to find out. Jesus had told Peter, You're going to deny me three times before the cock crows two times. Now, I believe there was a natural rooster involved in the midnight hour, like farm boys know they crow, and they crow for daylight. And we often used to joke as kids on the farm, you reckon that rooster thinks if he didn't crow, the sun wouldn't rise? You know, stuff like that. But they do. But there was also, in the middle of the city there, they didn't have a big grandfather's clock on the wall like we see in a lot of places today. But they did announce the time two times in the night. I believe I read where it was two times they would announce. But the rooster was a natural rooster, and it happened on time, just like Jesus said. It reminded Peter, and Peter was embarrassed and I'm sure ashamed when he heard the rooster crow. And no doubt about it, says the cock crew. Now, we know from reading the rest of the Bible about Peter. When they begin to accuse him, recognize him as a disciple, and he said, I know not the man. You know what he did? He started acting like he'd never met Jesus. One of the things he did, he changed his language, didn't he? Remember? He cursed. He said it with an oath. Now, he was wanting to identify with the sinners at that point. I think we shouldn't be too hard on Peter, because in the flesh, maybe we've all done something similar. When we were put on the spot, if we didn't say something, it was maybe our sin was that we didn't say something when we had the opportunity to. And so we don't judge Peter too hard. We don't condone it. And Peter sure later on wept tears and repented and got back right. And on the day of Pentecost, God used him to preach, and thousands got saved. Now, all of that is true, but I'll tell you what, till this day in heaven, I'll guarantee you Peter still regrets that incident in his life. You know, you can get forgiveness, and Peter did, and God used him later. But even when we do wrong and we get forgiveness, and maybe God uses us later, we still got a scar from it. Amen. We got a memory from it. We got a pain from it. We wish it hadn't have happened. Somebody said you can't put toothpaste back in the tube. That's true, but you can quit squeezing the tube. You can quit putting more out. You can stop it somewhere. And the truth is, Peter did stop it, and he did well later. But you'll find out if you read the last chapters here in the book of John, you'll find out Peter was embarrassed when the Lord showed up. You remember what Peter did? Peter backslid to the place that he gathered up his fishing buddies, and he said, I go a fishing. He reverted back to his old life. And then when they looked and saw the Lord on the seashore, the embarrassment that he felt. We'll read that before we get through here with John, not this morning. Let's move on down in verse 18 a little bit. Peter denied again, says immediately the cock crew. Then led they Jesus from Caiaphas unto the hall of judgment. And it was early, now that'd be the courthouse to us today. And it was early, and they themselves went not into the judgment hall. Now here's a hypocritical thing on these self-righteous religious leaders that was bringing Jesus to be crucified. Now their Jewish religion was big on separation, and there's separation that is right, but here they were straining at a gnat and swallowing a camel. We talk about Jesus pointed that out. They won't go into the judgment hall because it's a Gentile hall. And as religious Jews, they were going to stay separate from that. Now, I'm going to run that forward to where you kind of would see a parallel today. I would put myself in this. If I was walking down the street and I was thirsty, and I thought, well, I need a Coca-Cola, Pepsi, whatever. I'd walk on by a bar. I wouldn't go in there and get on the stool and sit down and order a Coke. I'd go on down to the grocery store somewhere to get one. Say, why? Because people are going to say, oh, he's in there drinking. Now, God would know better. But for my testimony's sake, I don't want somebody to say, well, I saw him coming out of a bar. Now, these Jews had that about the judgment hall. They were not going to be caught in there. That was they'd be unclean if they were caught in there. And so testimony-wise, I'm not faulting them for this, but look at the hypocrisy. Not going in the judgment hall, because that would stain us, that would be wrong, but we'll frame an innocent man. Compare the two. Compare what they were up to. And so we can see that so easily. They didn't want to go in and get defiled. And again, I come back to the Roman records. Pilate refers to this, to their hypocrisy. He saw through it all the way. And this very little incident here in the Bible is referenced in those records. And so it says they wouldn't go in the judgment hall. They'd be defiled, but that they might eat the Passover. They couldn't eat the Passover at the feast if they defiled themselves. And they had rules you would not believe. I mean, the high priest, for instance, couldn't even be touched by an ordinary man, or he'd be defiled where he couldn't serve the Passover, that sort of thing. So Pilate, a lost man at this point for sure. Some think he got saved later, don't know. He was judging them for their hypocrisy. Folks, we get judged for ours too. If we profess Christ and claim to be a Christian, and that's wonderful, I hope that we do, but somebody's watching to see if we live up to what we said. Amen. Whether our testimony matches, somebody said to whether our life matches our lip. It's important that we not be a hypocrite like this. So, says Pilate then went out. He had to go out because they wouldn't come in. So as the judge, so to speak, he went out unto them and said, what accusation bring ye against this man? They answered and said, and this is a lot of double speak right here. They answered and said unto him, if he were not a malefactor, we would not have delivered him unto thee. That is pure hypocrisy right there. They didn't actually give him a criminal charge. He didn't have one. Sort of like we're seeing in the news today, and I'm certainly not comparing Trump to Christ, but I want to tell you something, the same type of dirty work is still going on with men today. Very, very same thing. So, well, we wouldn't have brought him to you if he wasn't guilty. That's not much proof. Amen. That's not much to go on. That would be a bad thing if that could happen to all of us, right? And it does happen more than it should, no doubt. And if he were not a malefactor, we would not have brought him, delivered him unto thee. Then said Pilate unto them, and in another place it says that Pilate knew they delivered him for envy, that he knew the whole thing. And in his letter to the Roman Senate, he describes all of that. He says, take ye him and judge him according to your law. You see what was happening with these high priests, they were trying to dodge this thing and put it on the government of Rome. And Pilate was trying to get out of it. He and Herod both was passing the buck one to another. But Pilate ultimately gives in, politically correctness, to the crowd. So he says, take him, judge him by your law. Now the Jews therefore said unto him, it is not lawful for us to put any man to death. Well, that kind of revealed her hand. We want him to die. Right. And we can't give him capital punishment. We can't order him to be killed under Jewish law. They really didn't have any cause that they could. But under Roman law, you got the authority to kill a man. Now, the Jews were under the Roman authority, but one thing, they'd let them practice their religion and do some other things, but they were not supposed to kill a criminal. They were under subjection to Rome. However, when you get to Acts chapter 7, you find out this same crowd condemned Stephen, the first deacon, one of the first deacons, and stoned him to death. They were in great violation of Roman law. However, a little light is on it that Pilate didn't really have muscle enough, men enough, soldiers enough to hold this crowd that crucified Christ. He was in great fear they were going to overthrow, and he was going to really have a trouble with Caesar if they did. So all of that is extra stuff you don't read in the Bible, but it fits in real good. Now, they said it's not lawful for us, but look, there's a purpose. Now, here we see God behind the thing in verse 32, that the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled, which he spake, signifying what death he should die. Now, we already crossed that back in chapter 12. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. Now, he was lifted up on the cross. He had to die that way. He could not be stoned and fulfill the prophecy. He had to be lifted up on the cross. And so when he was lifted up, he said, I'll draw all men unto me. Isn't that what's been going on ever since then? That's what I preach. That's what any true preacher will preach, is that Jesus was lifted up on the cross. He died for our sins. He shed his blood for us. He didn't die for his own sins. He was not a lawbreaker. He was not a criminal. God the Father had sent him to take my place and die for my sins. And he said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men. I'm glad he said all, not some.
Amen.
Not just a few, but anybody that'll come. Isn't that what he said later? Whosoever cometh unto me, I'll in no wise cast out.
Amen.
Man, that was the best news I ever heard when I was a lost sinner and went in a church, that no matter what I'd done, thought, said, Jesus still loved me enough to die for my sins. Wow. You can't get any better news than that. That's what the gospel's called. It's called good news. And so here God intervened. No, he couldn't be stoned. He had to be lifted up. They got to understand something. The cross was predicted. His death was predicted in Psalms 22, very clear, and other places. But Psalms 22, that's 1,000 years before it happened.
Amen.
Psalms written 1,000 years before Jesus was arrested and falsely accused and crucified. And it spoke of the way he would die, of the cross. Now think about it. There was no cross when Psalms 22 was written. Rome was not in power. Rome had not conquered Israel. The capital punishment of dying on a cross had not happened when Psalms 22 was written, 1,000 years before it happened. And yet that's exactly what's being fulfilled, to the place that the Jews turn him over to Rome, because we can't lift him up on a cross. Rome will do that and fulfill the prophecy of all that whole long time. And if we keep your attention here with me, please, if you think about that, God was in charge all the time. Johnny, have a seat here while I'm teaching, please. Anyway, we're glad to have Johnny this morning, but sometimes he forgets where he's at, I think. Come back with me now. 1,000 years, that's a long time. Long time. And yet you see God, that's God doing it. That's exactly what was predicted. Now, read on with me here just a little bit. That the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled. Then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again, went back in the door and called Jesus and said unto him, art thou the king of the Jews? Jesus answered him, sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it thee of me? Boy, he's getting into the heart of Pilate. When you read some of the feelings that Pilate had later, you'll see that, boy, he was torn up on the inside. He knew he was going along with something that was wrong, a frame up, and he didn't want to do it, and he's being pressured in it, he does it, and Jesus is digging right into his soul when he talks to him like this. Sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did somebody else tell it thee of me? Pilate answered. I can imagine he did it losing his temper a little bit. Am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priest have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? Pilate says, all right, what are you hiding? How come they hate you so much? What have you done? This is your own people. This is the Jews. Well, remember in John chapter 1 when we started teaching, It says he came unto his own, and his own received him not, verse 12. The other part of that verse is so good, but unto as many as received him, unto them gave he power to become the sons of God. I'm one of them that received him. I hope you're one of them that received him. If so, you got the power of the Lord in your life to change you. It changed me. It'll change anybody that'll give God a chance. And I'm glad of that. Nobody's too hard to be saved. Amen. And so we read on down here, and Pilate says, what have you done? In verse 36, Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from thence. Now, folks, this will answer a lot of questions for all of us in this verse 36. Don't we ever now and then say, why don't God do this? Why don't he get rid of the evil? We live in a day and time in America that the book of Isaiah prophesied where they would call evil good. That's where we're at now. Call evil good. And we said, God, why don't you do something? He is going to do something. Amen. In his time, he is going to do something. And this verse tells you what he's going to do. Jesus said, the time is not now. My kingdom's not of this world. But I want to tell you something. He is coming back with his kingdom, and he is going to set it up. And you talk about a shocked world. The enemies of Christ, you know, they fuss at somebody like me or others that speak against their evil today. But when he comes back, he's not only going to be able to speak against it, he's going to be able to deal with it. Amen. He's going to set his kingdom up. When you was in school, probably the one first thing you remember is trying in a classroom back in those days. If you're old enough, you remember they'd make a stand and say the Lord's Prayer. Remember that? Now, called it the Lord's Prayer. What did it say? One of the things it said was, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Well, that day hadn't happened yet, but it is. And that's what Jesus was referring to. Yes. If you could look in heaven right now, I think we're so close to the coming of Jesus Christ, you could almost see the armies massing, getting ready to come back and to set up the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. Every time I hear the news, and daily and weekly, and some of you come in this morning telling me some bad stuff, no, we wish it didn't happen, but we're not shocked. The Bible said evil men will wax worse and worse, and they are waxing worse and worse. Day by day, week by week, we think, what else? What else? And it used to be we'd think, look at Washington and look way off and see it happening. We don't have to look very far now. It's on our doorstep. It's all around us. And they had the Gay Pride Week in Lakeland. Proud of what God calls an abomination. I'm a pervert and proud of it. Isn't that amazing? That's the day we moved to. God condemns that business. One day he's going to come back and enforce his word. Now men can accept it freely or reject it, but one day he's coming back, and the Bible says he'll come back with a sword that goes out of his mouth. Now the sword in the scripture is often a type of the word. Hebrews 4:12, two-edged sword. Word of God, sharp as a two-edged sword. He's going to speak it, and it's going to happen in his power. Right here in this chapter, when they came out in the garden to take him, to bind him and bring him back in, they said, well, know who Jesus is? And he said, I am he, and they fell over backwards. Amen. He had to restrain his word. He'd wiped them out right there. But when he comes back, that same power of his word is going to take over planet Earth, set up his kingdom, and his will is going to be done on earth as it is in heaven. Wonder how many times human beings have said that. I remember my time in grammar school of saying that all over the world. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Well, one day it will. One day it will. Maybe a lot closer than we think. My time's up. Let me read the Sunday school report, and we'll have about 7 or 8 minutes.